Welcome to Visible by Numbers with your host, Allison Bachman.
Hello, and welcome to Visible by Numbers, being broadcast on beautiful BBS Radio, the number one radio station on the Internet. This is your host, Allison, and you know, I'm happy you decided to join us this evening, and I hope that you all had a wonderful Thanksgiving. And I also hope you all were watching Psychic Search, which aired on the Biography Channel on Saturday night. It really was a good show and a testimony to my guest's ability as a medium. On the show, a grieving mother hired Chuck to investigate her son's death, and he worked with the Jacksonville Police Department. They're very skeptical of his abilities, but in the end, the Jacksonville detectives found themselves amazed by the details of the case because Chuck was able to prove a lot of things. It left no questions in anyone's mind that Chuck Bergman has the ability to connect with those that have crossed over. It really was a great show. And what makes Chuck so special, in my opinion, is that he's a retired police officer, which in many ways lends an extra layer of credibility to his mediumistic abilities. I just don't think you expect a police officer to be a medium. But Chuck is actually a third-generation medium. Since an early age, he's had the ability to communicate with those who have passed on. And you can read all about him on his website, which is chuckbergman.com. That's chuckbergman.com. Because right now, it is my complete pleasure to welcome Chuck to the show. Hey, Chuck, how are you?
Doing very good, Allison. Nice to hear your voice again, and nice to be on your show again. Is this the second or third time?
Yeah, it's always a pleasure to talk to you, Chuck. I was so excited to see the show, so impressed. I was just wondering, what were your feelings when you saw it? How did you feel?
Let's see. Probably very thrilled with the editing, the music.
Mm-hmm.
It was a little odd for me where I pretty well knew what I had done when I was on camera, and I knew the outcome of the case and everything, but it was pretty hard to take 5 days worth of footage, and
mm-hmm.
we filmed from like 8 every morning till 8 o'clock at night. It was kind of amazing to see how they chopped that into half an hour, and I've gotten thousands of emails in which everyone is making the same comment. They wish it had been at least an hour. So,
right.
I kind of felt that way watching it too, that there was so much more they could have added, and
mm-hmm.
I thought a lot of key stuff had to be dropped.
Uh-huh.
More, it was accurate information, but because of legal issues, they had to drop it.
Oh, okay. I imagine there's a lot of red tape and whatnot with television programs and stuff that you have to go through. But, you know, all in all, you know, the one thing that I think from watching the show is there was no question of your ability as a medium. There was no question that you were receiving information. And certainly that's a testimony to your abilities. And I really loved, I guess, you know, you were calm. You were in control. You were, you know, maybe a little conservative, but I really felt that you know, it was just, there was a warmth about you, a sincerity about you that, you know, really came through in your voice and in things that you said. And all in all, you know, especially for someone out there that's a skeptic, you know, after watching that program, it's impossible to remain a skeptic because you really did bring the goods.
Oh, that's good to hear. And I have to say, Grover, the one detective, the one that you see me with on occasion,
uh-huh.
Told me from the very beginning, before I even approached the family, that Terry Rollison was a friend of his, that they used
uh-huh.
to go hunting together,
mm-hmm.
and that he didn't believe in this stuff at all.
Uh-huh.
And he felt that we were sort of off limits to even talk about his friend and to get involved in the case, but... and he made it clear he wouldn't be on camera, and as we all know, he ended up on camera. It took him all of about 10 minutes of listening to me, and there were some really powerful pieces that got cut out of the video,
mm-hmm.
in which he went from watching from the sidelines to walking right up to me and participating in the rest of the investigation with me.
Wow, so you actually turned a real-life skeptic into a believer then by, you know, your experience with him. That's really great. Now, you know, I contacted you because I know you probably got thousands of emails and calls and whatnot, but I had to laugh because I watched the program with... I have to admit, I didn't stay up till 11. I get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, but you were, I absolutely, made sure that I recorded it. And so the first thing I did when I got up in the morning with my coffee and my daughter and my granddaughters, we sat and we watched the program. And so Maddie watched the program. And, you know, I told you that, usually when she, you know, she was staying with me for the Thanksgiving weekend. When she leaves, she usually leaves me pictures that are colored upstairs in her bedroom. And one of the pictures was about the program, and she said, I love the show. She said, I love Chuck Bergman. He reminds me of my teacher, and she colored a picture of you, and she thought that you were awesome, and she was in awe. You know, even an 8-year-old child sitting there watching that program in awe and understanding exactly what you were doing, and I just thought it was really cool, and you know I mailed that to you. So there you go, some fan mail.
I can't wait to see it, Allison. I can't wait. It's going to be cute. I'll
it
put
was
it up
adorable.
In the office, I promise.
Well, it was really adorable, and it was such a surprise to me that she, you know, she did that. So I just wanted you to have that. It was so very cute. And I really think, you know, in the scheme of things, you know, we have so many programs that you know, are coming on air. But, you know, I really hope that they're going to do more shows with you. I mean, are there any plans in the works for, you know, some more psychic searches with you, or is this going to become a series? Do you have any idea?
Unfortunately, the title indicates that they're searching for other psychics, and that was the original plan. I'm not sure what they're going to do with it. I did get word today from the production company that there's conversation between the production company and Biography that they may continue psychic search, and mm-hmm. what they'll do is videotape other people with either healing abilities or whatever their specialty is,
uh-huh.
and what they'll do is start the program off and say, this is what they claim, now let's see if they can do it.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Which is going to be a very interesting show. And then they're talking about spinning off with myself and doing similar to your cold case file investigations.
Yeah.
And naming it Psychic Cop.
That is what I want to hear, yeah, because I think that would be a great show. Because, you know, when you combine, number one, the fact that you were police, you're a retired police officer, and also you've always had these medium skills. When you combine the two of those things, it is the perfect combination for Psychic Cop. It's the perfect combination for, you know, using your abilities plus your skills and understanding investigations to, you know, actually go down that road, you know, and lend that kind of insight to investigations. So I think it's, you know, that would be something that I would be really excited about, and I hope that's in your future, really.
Well, then,
absolutely.
Then I've got a quick story that will really gel everything together.
Sure.
It goes back about probably 15 or 20 years ago. I don't want to give my age away.
Sure.
But I was working a midnight shift in a police car, and, you know, usually when you hit 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning, you're pretty much the only car on the road.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember as it was approaching like maybe 5:30, 6 o'clock, I started heading down to a location I usually go to at that hour of the morning, and I don't want to call it a donut shop because I've heard enough donut jokes. But it was a donut shop, and a friend of mine who owned it, you know, I'd go in the morning, have usually a coffee and maybe a donut, if you will. But the amazing part was I had, you know, been cruising around, you know, doing the things you normally do at that hour of the morning. And
yeah.
I remember turning onto the street that he's located on, and I thought the radio in the police car went off to give me, like, either a car accident or a business broken into or something like that. But it was a very crisp, clear voice. I can't even describe how clear it was. And the voice said, you will be known as the Psychic Cop.
Oh, my God.
Well, some of the guys I work with were somewhat jokers and stuff. So the first thing I did is look in the rearview mirror to see if it was a police car behind me putting on, you know, the PA system or something like that. But you know, I was the only person on the road, and I know I heard what I heard.
Right.
And this was at a point in my life when I was really starting to develop.
Right.
But it was kind of odd that now we move up to the A&E channel, which ended up selling the Psychic Search over to Biography.
Sure.
I never told them that story, and I was under the impression it was going under first The Other Side was supposed to be the name of the show, and
uh-huh.
then because of legal issues with a television show in England, they had to change it to Psychic Search. And then when my piece on, and right under my name, it said psychic cop. It's like,
sure.
Wow, they were right upstairs, which we know they are upstairs. I guess I have to trust a little more than I do.
Right. Well, you actually have a story that you start off the show with, that when you were a child, you were fashioning a police badge, and you were trying to pin it onto your shirt or get it to stick on your shirt, and it fell to the ground, and you heard a voice at that time that said, told you, don't worry, you're going to be a real police officer someday. You have your own badge or something along those lines.
The words were very, very exact. It's That's okay,
yeah.
Chuck. One day you'll have a real badge.
Right.
And I got to
Well,
hit there a minute.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, what I was going to say is I've always noticed, even in my life, that things that I said or things that came to me that at the time didn't seem as though there was any consequence to it. It was just a random thought or a random whatever. And then it ended up being very profound, and it was a very telling event that was upcoming in my life. And I've actually seen that throughout my life, where I look back now and go, wow, I can't believe that happened and whatever, and now I'm living it or being it or whatever. So, you know, I think that just kind of goes hand in hand with people that actually are tuned into their, you know, receiving information. And, you know, a lot of people receive it, but they don't pay attention to it or don't acknowledge it,
More and more lately, I'm hearing of especially moms who end up losing children, and then
mm-hmm.
they come to me for a reading.
Mm-hmm.
I'm starting to almost chart it out, where it seems like 1 week before the event,
mm-hmm.
they know something horrible is going to happen.
Sure.
They may even know what's going to happen, but attached to that feeling, they also feel or know that they can't change it or they can't do anything about it.
Sure.
And what it leaves them with when everything is over is they feel like, I should have done this, or I should have done that, I
mm-hmm.
could have stopped it,
mm-hmm.
whereas we all know it really is pre-written. We've all agreed to it before we come here.
Absolutely. You know, and I think sometimes, you know, it's like you get premonitions and whatnot, and sometimes even those are really hard, because you try to think positive thoughts, you try to push that stuff out of your mind, you know, especially with, you know, what they're talking about with the law of attraction and monitoring your thoughts and thinking positive things, but you get that foreboding feeling, and you try to push it out of your mind, when actually there is sometimes a message in that. You know, even in dreams, sometimes you get a dream and you're like, ooh, that was just a nightmare. But really, as you begin to realize it was foretelling something, you push it out of your mind. You don't want to, you want to think positive things or good things. I know, you know, through my work, I've actually done readings for many people that have lost their children. And we are, you know, with using numerology as a tool, you actually can depict those actual years in people's charts. And it, you know, in a way, you know, I stumble across it because I'm pulling out to them, well, I see this particular year in your chart, and it's a very difficult year, and usually something, it's a memorable year because of its difficulty. Can you associate anything with this particular year? Because what I'm trying to tell you is this is written. And then, you know, not really fully realizing exactly what I'm saying at that moment, then I find out that I have just depicted the actual year that a mother has lost a child through what I'm seeing in the chart. So I do feel, especially seeing numerology, besides the fact that spiritual philosophy and teachers say that this is all preordained, that we all choose the time when we're going to leave, that we all pre-plan our lives, numerology so often depicts right down to the exact year, you know, when these particular things happen, which is in many ways validating. It's validating that fact. And I think it's amazing, mediumships. You know, what you do is an amazing thing, and, you know, and to be validated through, you know, other tools is, you know, even, you know, more exciting, I think. So the show was, bar none, I think, really quality. I'm sorry that they left some stuff out. Yes, I think it should have been an hour, but I would hope that you'd be really, really pleased with your performance, because you did not leave any room for doubt. I think it was very strong, you know, the stuff that you got. So I would hope that you're just immensely happy, and I really hope that there's future shows for you, really.
Well, thank you, Allison. I'm sort of hoping that, and it looks like it's heading in that direction. I really
Perfect.
Would like it.
Perfect.
And I got to say this, too. The whole show was, I knew absolutely nothing going into it about the case.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
They simply turned cameras on, no script,
mm-hmm.
and no retakes.
Mm-hmm.
And they were pretty rough on me. I mean, they had wireless mics, boom mics over my head. Even when I had lunch, I mean, I'm being taped. I couldn't
wow.
really. What they were concerned about, too, is I was afraid, not afraid, I was aware that there was a possibility that they may have been waiting to see if people were tipping me off or giving me information.
Sure.
Because they did a couple of things that they captured. I had forgotten I was wearing the wireless microphone.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I'm off to the side with either other cops or detectives, and we're talking, not realizing that later in the editing room, people are going to listen to every word. And I actually had learned that from the producer. He said that they couldn't find any flaw in anything that I did, and were very surprised at how I could go from, you know, one minute we're laughing and joking to getting right into the dirt with the actual murder case.
Right. Yeah, I you know, there were times when it almost looked like a switch was switched off in you. You know, one minute you're just, you know, and all of a sudden next, you know, you could tell that you're into some energy, you're feeling that energy, you're reading that energy, and you could almost see it on your face, you know, and a little more of an intensity to you, you know, whereas in a, maybe just a calm conversation, you know, you could just tell the difference. And I thought that was really, you know, kind of amazing. Now, let me ask you, you know, like I was looking at your website, and I got to remind people that Chuck has a wonderful website. It's chuckbergman.com. And it's still, are you still available for appointments, for readings, or has that just shot through the roof?
No, it, can I say this on the air?
Say whatever you want to say. Hey.
I'll say it. This is the type of luck I have on occasion is, you know, I got to admit, finally doing my show, having it come out on Biography Channel, a big night for me. Well, wouldn't you know, the credit card company I deal with on the website crashed an hour before the show.
Oh, no.
It didn't come up till late the next night, and I got plenty of emails, people saying, I'm trying to go online and book a reading. I can't, you know, it won't let me pay and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought, boy, wouldn't that be my luck, you know? I mean, I got up that morning saying, I hope I don't have so many that I can't, you know, fulfill my obligation, because I certainly want to schedule them out and you know, do what's right.
Sure.
But it kind of backfired on me. It was like, I can't believe it.
Oh, well, I'm sure that won't be a problem. Eventually, you know, there'll be a heck of a waiting list to get through to you. I do want to tell everyone that I had the wonderful opportunity of having a reading with Chuck at one point. You know, and I don't know if you recall, Chuck, but you actually did a reading. Everybody's gonna laugh, but my dog, and I know, but I love my dog, and I was in a point of a very deep grief, having to put my dog down and feeling very guilty, you know, of having to have made that decision. And, I don't know if you remember, but you did a reading for me that was an incredible amount of comfort for me, because I struggled so much. He was so sick, and it wasn't, they wanted to literally operate and take his eyes out and sew his eyes shut, and I just couldn't do that to him. And so you made me feel, you know, helped me get past that with Gus, and I can't thank you enough. And it was really an extraordinarily wonderful reading that just comforted me, and I don't know if you remember, do you remember that at all, Chuck?
I do, but I really, many readings, even I do for, you know, people that have lost a spouse or a child, many times I kind of forget the details, and when they remind me later of things I've said,
right,
like I'm in the dark, and I'm going, I don't remember that.
Well, I get people that write me, and I have no, you know, I don't have no idea what I said from one reading to another, and nor should you, otherwise your brain would explode if you remembered them all, I tell you that much. But listen, Chuck, I do think that we heard a beep, which means we have a caller on the line, so I'm just going to just take a moment and first off say, you know, if you're calling, if you got a question for Chuck, you're more than welcome to ask that question. And, you know, if Chuck can pick up some stuff about you, he might even do a reading for you. Let me, before I take this caller, give out the toll-free numbers. You can call toll-free worldwide at 888-815-9756. You can also call 530-327-7602, 530-776-5185, 530-413-4511, and finally 530-876-3222. If I said those numbers too quickly, just go to the front page of bbsradio.com, and all the numbers are right there, and you're welcome to call into the show. So who's on the line? Hello? Do we have a caller?
Hello?
Hi there. Ellie?
Hi, Allison.
Ellie, how are ya?
Hi, Chuck.
Hi, Ellie. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I have to say, was kind of like watching a brother on TV kick some major booty. You did awesome.
Thank you.
And I have to tell you, my husband, who's Mr. Skeptical, we watched it, and my husband goes, that guy is really impressive.
You know, you brought up one of the most important things, Ellie. With my police background, I really do hope that people in law enforcement who will not buy into this stuff will kind of shake their heads and watch what I'm doing.
Right.
You know what, and I said this to Allison, I spoke to her, and I appreciate you letting me just take a little time, but, you know, I think what I really enjoyed the most is that you took your sixth sense about your police work and you coupled it with your, you know, your mediumship, and, you know, that was just a win-win situation for you. And what I really liked was that they didn't do it like the proverbial paranormal shows or other psychic shows or medium shows. You know, they really showed that side of you that you were just, you know, bang on with everything, spot on with everything. And, I just thoroughly enjoyed it. And I really hope that they come back and do more stuff with you. And, you know, I just was very proud, kind of like a sister. And I have to tell you, I really loved the fact that your sister was in that. I thought that was very endearing. Uh-huh.
Well, she'll be happy to hear that because my sister Linda was with me from pretty much the very beginning. And I remember, you know, most people listening also would know that I'm on the James Van Praagh practitioner page. But before I got on that page, he had called me, talked to me, and he said, before I post you, we have to do a telephone reading. And I'm thinking, I've never done a telephone reading. I was in Boston. He was in California. But he gave me 7 days to practice. He said, you know, if you're good enough and you can do it, I'll put you on the website. And wouldn't you know, we no sooner talk. An hour later, my sister calls me, Linda, the one that was in the show, from Florida. And she said, that thing you do, Chuck, can you do it on the phone? I said, well, funny you should ask. They said, I just talked to James Van Praagh, and I have to learn how to do it by next week. And she said, well, my best friend died just this morning, and I just want to know if you can do it. And all of a sudden, I said, was her name Hilda? And it was.
Mm.
So gave her a reading from there. That was my first phone reading with Linda. But I'll let her know that you said that, Ellie. She'll be happy to hear it.
You know, but I really, and I think that's what I found very endearing also, is because, it was your sister. And there, you know, there's no bond like family, you know. And, you know, she was just all about, you know, getting you around and sort of being there and listening to you. And I thought it was done very tastefully, because there are plenty of paranormal and metaphysical shows out there that, you know, in my opinion, are not so tasteful. And I really thought that Biography, they did a good job with shining that proverbial light on Mr. Chuck Bergman. So
yeah, there's a lot of integrity in the show, Chuck. It was a lot of integrity.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
you rocked. You got to come and visit with me soon.
I'd love to.
Okay, Ellie, well, thanks for calling.
I won't hold you up. I know you got other callers, but I didn't want to be a hog.
No, you did good, Ellie.
I just wanted to just say that, you know, I thought you were wonderful, and you really shed another light on those of us that really work with integrity in the field, and, you know,
perfect.
And that was very cool. So,
that's what I'm all about.
Have an amazing show, you too. I'll be listening. And thanks,
thank you,
Al, for letting me call in. And I love Allison. She is the best numerologist ever.
I know.
Okay.
I know.
And Ellie's quite a little psychic herself. So thanks, Ellie.
Oh.
All right, thanks for calling, sweetie.
Okay, see that.
All right, bye.
Okay.
All right. Now, Chuck, you know, the one thing I do want to say is, you know, I have referred a lot of my clients that are looking for mediums to you. You're unaware of it, probably. And I've actually gotten some emails like, thank you. So, you know, that they thought you did a really great job for them. And I also want to point out to people that you do have a testimonial page on your website, and there's some really wonderful testimonials. And you don't get on James Van Praagh's practitioner page, you know, unless you've got, you know, the goods. And so that in itself is quite a testimony to your abilities. So again, I'm going to mention again, chuckbergman.com, chuckbergman.com. And you know, that's pretty cool being on James's page. I've always admired, his work. I loved his show when it was on TV. When he was doing readings, I think it was on during the daytime.
Was the name of it.
Oh, I love that show. I love that show.
In fact, I remember the premiere was the day my granddaughter was born. and we were at the hospital. I was there with my daughter watching his first show, and it was just kind of nice sitting there watching the show and, you know, having, you know, just so many good things happening all at once. It was like his show was born, and so was my granddaughter on the same day.
Yeah, well, I think that I actually met James. He was doing a book signing in Exton, and he was so kind that he did a chat to the crowd before the book signing, and he did say something that really was, you know, every once in a while, I've read every book he ever wrote, I'm an avid fan of his work. I consider him to be, you know, a spiritual teacher. But he said something at that time, and he said, you know, sometimes people cross over because they can actually help you more on the other side than they can in the physical realm. And, you know, oftentimes we sit there and we say, why? Why did this person die so young? Or why did this happen in that way? And never ever really being able to come up with an answer that makes sense. And when he said that to me, it was like this great big huge light bulb that went off inside of me that said, that is the truth, that, you know, maybe sometimes we cross over because we know what's upcoming in someone's life, and we know that we can be there for them in a much more profound way if we are on the other side, on the spiritual realm, helping them as opposed to being in the physical life. And that was the last encounter that I had with James that was, you know, it's just one of those moments for me. And I think it's really wonderful that you're on his pages as a practitioner, because you are equally as gifted. I really believe that. And I'm sure you think very highly of him as well.
Oh, I do. He's been a great friend over the years. I was lucky that I could even get in with him and speak to him about different things. In fact, I remember my first time going up in front of an audience, and I was really terrified. You know, I didn't know how to stand, what to do, and all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I talked to him that afternoon. We were in a chat room on his website, and he said, let me call you. And so I sent him my number, and we were both laughing about it. And I remember giving a joke, something about, you know, I don't think I can do it, because if I'm distracted by everything, I can't give a reading. And he was just so calming and just knew I could do it. And he actually hung around that afternoon and waited for me to return to the call to tell him that it was very successful.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he's something else. He's been my mentor for many years.
Well, that is quite a testimony to him and also to you. I know that he's mentored many people throughout his career, and I think that that's really, you know, part of who he is as a person. So that's great. Now, I did want to ask you, because, you know, we talked about your abilities, and you mentioned that you clearly heard a voice. Do you also, do you see, in your mind's eye, do you see out with your eyes? Do you also feel as though that you're, you know, an empath, that where you're actually getting feelings or feeling feelings? I mean, just how do you receive your information? Because I always find it interesting how various different mediums receive that information.
I get it. It really depends on the energy being transmitted by the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
If it's strong enough, I'll see them just as clearly as I see a person walking down the street.
Mm-hmm.
I get that on occasion.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I think you recall the last time I told the story about Ray Charles appearing.
Oh, that's right.
But it was just like it was Ray Charles. I mean, he was...
Tell that story, Chuck. No, tell that story.
All right, I don't want to bore people.
No.
Well, it was fascinating that I had a lady call me one afternoon. Her name was Lovey, and that's all she would tell me. And she insisted. She said, we want an in-house reading. My sister and I, she's listening on the other line to make sure I don't say too much. And like Ellie said, I'm all about integrity, so I kind of laughed and said, Lovey, Thursday, 1 o'clock, bring your sister. She said, okay, and I said, goodbye, and I hung up on her because they knew what they were doing. They knew the association with Ray Charles, but they didn't want to tip me off or give me anything to work with. In fact, they even blocked their call when they called my house.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, when they arrived and sat in front of me, off to the right in the room that I'm in is a sofa of which no one's sitting there. And I kind of glanced over, and I see an older lady sitting there wearing a hat and everything. And I mentally talked to her and said, you must be their mom. And she said, yes, I died a month ago from pneumonia. I said, oh, great, this is going to be the best reading ever, because she's talking to me like a normal person would talk to me, and I get the luxury of seeing her. So I asked the girls, hey, girls, did mom die a month ago from pneumonia? Well, they thought I was the best medium around. They thought, you know, wow, he's right on target.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, as things progressed, Mm-hmm. Sitting to mom's left, I hear someone singing the song Georgia on My Mind, mm-hmm. and I look over, and it's Ray Charles.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm literally seeing him. I'm seeing his clothing. I'm seeing the sunglasses. He's laughing and literally calling my name and saying these words. Exactly. He went, Chuck, tell them I'm here. And now it's really messing me up. I'm going, how in the world would Ray Charles know my name? So anyway, I'm going through this little process and ignoring Ray Charles because I'm thinking, well, these two ladies are going to get up and walk out if they think I'm hallucinating and seeing someone like Ray Charles.
All right, right, right.
So I'm paying attention to their mom and giving messages, very low-level, boring messages back and forth. But I kept glancing at Ray, and I'm going, get out of here. Go, go, leave. So finally, Lovey says, Chuck, you keep looking over at that end of the sofa. There's no one there. What the heck is going on? It's kind of weird. So I started laughing, and I said, girls, you're not going to believe this, but we've got a visitor. I think your mom brought him just to have fun with me, but you're not going to believe this. Ray Charles is sitting on my sofa. Well, they reached into this pocketbook thing that they had brought and mm-hmm. brought out the family album, and in the family album were all the private pictures of the two girls with Ray Charles, and then I learned that the two girls were Ray Charles' sisters,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and it was Ray Charles' mom that had just passed away a month ago.
Wow.
And that's why they'd come for the reading, and that's why everything was so secretive. But the funny thing is, here I am trying to tune Ray Charles out and kick him out of my house and say, hey, go back up there where you belong, Ray. I mean, I'm honored that you're here, and I'd love it if it were my night off and you and I could hear you sing and stuff like that for a while, but I felt he was interrupting my reading. I wanted him out of the house.
So isn't it you that said, trust it, it's for real?
You know, he was the one, he said, Chuck, tell them I'm here. And I'm going, how does he know my name? This is Ray Charles.
Right.
And by the way, for those listening, it went on for another 30 minutes in which I gave very personal stuff about Ray Charles and his family that was
right.
kind of fun to be a part of it.
Well, that must have been, yeah.
And it was. And it was a real honor to get to turn the pages in his own Ray's family album.
Wow, that's heavy, incredible. So you not only with your ears hear voices, but you also see with your eyes, which is, you know, clairvoyance. A lot of people misunderstand and they think that you have to see with your eyes. Some psychics and mediums see in their mind's eye, but you actually literally see with your eyes, which is really pretty cool.
I actually do both. Sometimes it will be in my mind's eye, but,
sure.
And that's not quite as vivid usually.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
I also do, you know, I'm certainly hearing and I do. I can feel things throughout my body, like if someone's missing an arm or a leg or something.
Mm-hmm.
I'll look down and I don't see my own. It's like it's missing. It's gone.
Wow.
And then
wow.
I'll bring up that topic, like I don't have a left leg, and they'll say, "Well, no, he lost in a motorcycle accident or
wow.
whatever."
Wow.
So I get stuff like that. And another strange one I've witnessed, and these things just keep happening too, is sometimes I'll be on the telephone giving a reading, and I'll go, I smell like cherry blossom all of a sudden. And the person will say, hold on, let me see the name. I just lit a candle, and I'm in Ohio, and it's cherry blossom.
Ah.
But I'll literally smell it, even though mm-hmm. I'm, you know, 2,000 miles away. And
right.
one more I had, I remember one reading I was giving where all of a sudden my mouth was full of dry roasted peanuts during a reading, and I had two ladies on. It was their mom coming through.
Mm-hmm.
But it was to the point, it was I couldn't speak. It was like a mouthful of peanut butter. You know, you can't talk.
Oh, really?
But
really?
That's what it felt like to me, and I could literally taste it. Now, uh-huh. I wasn't remembering the taste of dry roasted peanuts.
Uh-huh.
I was tasting it. There was no difference between throwing a handful in my mouth.
Right.
So, and I was laughing because I do find stuff like that funny. And
mm-hmm.
so I did ask the two girls on the phone. I said, why am I getting the dry roasted peanuts, and I'm almost choking on it? Well, the one girl said that her children were allergic to nuts.
Uh-huh.
And because of that, when she came over to her sister's house and waited for the reading, her sister had a jar of dry roasted peanuts, poured it into a bowl, and she ate the whole jar waiting for me to call for the reading. I guess my point is, there's always a relevancy. There's always a reason why something like that will happen.
Right. It's
trust. And I've learned that if they're going to go to that trouble to make me taste it and feel
mm-hmm.
it in my mouth,
mm-hmm.
there's going to be something funny attached to it.
Right, right. Well, that's, you know, part of, like, asking your ego to step aside, where your rational mind, you know, kind of screws around with the information that you're receiving. You're like, this can't be possible, or this isn't, you know what I mean? And that's the hard part, I think, to trusting the information that you receive, and not questioning, you know, what does it have to do with anything, or how it fits in, but just, you know, trusting enough in spirit that you just say it and just, you know, shoot from the hip and hope for the best, you know, and hope that somebody can understand what that information is. I would think that see, with me being a perfectionist, and I admit this, I'm a perfectionist. When I do a numerology reading, it's all about, you know, understanding those numbers, giving the best possible interpretation, understanding everything there is to know about a numerology reading. I'm such a perfectionist that when it comes to trusting, you know, the intuitive aspects, the psychic aspects of it, you know, I tend to want to stay really in a more scientific place. And so I can totally understand if I was a psychic medium and I wasn't working with a tool like numerology and having to just trust what comes to me, you know, I would be sitting there saying nothing because I am a perfectionist. If I can't prove that this is, you know, if I have no way of proving that this is so, whereas when I deliver a numerology reading, I'm absolutely 110% confident in the accuracy of the information because numerology is that accurate. I don't have to be a rocket scientist. You know, numerology does that work for me. So, you know, I would find that very difficult to just trust in the information.
What I do is, like, if I'm giving you advice now, and like, I'm just going to make this up, but say you're going to get a new car tomorrow, and you're asking me, how do your parents feel in spirit, even though I don't really agree with that theory, it's up to you. You're making the payments, you're driving it, get what you want, not what they want.
Right, right, right.
But usually what I'll do is, like, if I give a piece of what could be intuitive information, what I like to do is back it up with a good, solid, hard validation of some sort.
Right,
and I would
right.
like to give this example because it happened the other day where a lady I was giving a reading to, her dad was coming through, and she told me that something about their business, and she felt the son-in-law had been doing something with money improperly. And I said, he absolutely is, and this is from dad, and I'm really going with her suggestion, which isn't always a good idea, but I knew I could trust the intuitive side of what I was getting from her dad. But then I stopped everything. I said, before I point the finger at this guy, because I don't like doing it, I'm going to give you his first name. If your brother-in-law's first name is what I'm about to say, then if that's a true statement, so is everything that I just talked about. And what happened was Spirit showed me my website, my face, and I said, is his name Chuck? And it was.
Oh.
So get the guy's first name correct was enough for me. It was like, okay, now I can trust that he really did misappropriate funds and, you know, do what you have to do.
Right, right. Well, you know, I don't know. Like I said, I'm such a perfectionist. I would be a terrible medium and psychic. I really believe that. Although, you know, it's interesting to me, you know, that you know, it's not that, and I'm sure that, you know, I see things, I do, but I get to see furry little animals. This is what I get to see. I saw like a cat run down the hallway. We don't have a cat. And it was absolutely attached to this girl's reading that I was doing the next day. I was holding her chart in my hand at the time that I saw the cat, right? And I thought, why is there a yellow cat in my hallway? And then the next day when I did the reading with her, the same cat appeared at the reading, and this was... And what I was talking about was her mediumship abilities because it was clearly written into her numbers. And she goes, yeah, I see my cat all the time. And so I'm sitting there and I just kind of got this smirk on my face and I go, by any chance is your cat yellow? She started laughing and she goes, yes. I'm like, okay, I think I've seen your cat, you know? So I guess I get to see animals every once in a while, which is a cool thing for me. But, you know, I'll leave the mediumship to you. Listen, I do want to give back out the call-in numbers. If anyone that's listening to the show, if you have a question for Chuck, you're more than welcome to call into the show and ask a question. If you saw the program Psychic Search on the Biography Channel on Saturday night and you have a comment about the show, I'm sure Chuck would love to hear your input. And also, Chuck is here. You know, hey, he might get some messages for you. So feel free to call into the show. Going to give the numbers again. Toll free, 888-815-9756. Also, you can call in at 530-327-7602. 530-776-5185, 530-413-4511, and 530-876-3222. Now, Chuck, do you know if that show is going to be replayed again on the Biography Channel? Like if somebody missed it, if they'll be able to see it again?
I'm not too sure. I forget what the limitation is on it. The first airing had already been purchased by a Biography, and then it's up to them whether they own the rights to it or not. And I think they've got like a 2-week window only to make a decision. If they go ahead and purchase it, they told the producers that they're going to hammer it. They're going to keep playing it over and over and over.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't purchase it, it's going to go to another network.
Oh, okay. I understand.
I think either way, we're going to see it out there some more.
Okay, wonderful. All right, I believe that we have a caller, so I'm going to take my caller. Who's calling, please?
Glenda, I just want to say congratulations to Chuck. He's given me several very accurate readings, and the last one was my best friend had just died when I was in the hospital, and Chuck brought him right through 2 hours later. And detailed. I just want to say congratulations to Chuck. Thank
Glenda,
you,
I was,
for taking my call.
Glenda?
Yes?
Honey, I was thinking about you at 2 o'clock this afternoon.
Oh, I've been thinking about you all day.
I'm glad because I really did. In fact, I almost picked up the phone, but it's been a madhouse around here. It really has. And I don't think
you
and I have talked in a, we haven't
but
talked
you deserve,
in a few months.
You deserve the recognition. You are so... detailed and accurate. The first reading, you were the first medium to ever give me a reading, and you overwhelmed me because you told me something I had forgotten. My brother, who is very close to me, and every medium that has given me a reading has brought him through, but you were the first. You reminded me. You said, "This is strange. I see scissors and a haircut." My brother, for years, many, many years, wore his hair long. The day that he was killed in a car accident, he had cut his hair cut. I don't remember, Chuck, because it's so long ago, that I don't remember if he got it cut or they cut it because of the accident. But you brought that through, and I had forgotten it. And when you brought through the fact that I had wrote something for him, and I did. It was like, walk through this world with me, go where I go, share all my dreams with me, for I love you so.
Wow.
And Joe has never left me. He's here every reading I ever give. And most of all, Chuck, you told me I'd one day do what you're doing, and I just laughed and rolled my eyes because you had given me such a good reading, I didn't believe it. But congratulations to you, sir, because you well deserve all recognition.
Glenda.
Thank you.
Thank you, sweetie. Thank you for calling
Glenda,
in.
And Glenda,
all right,
does
take care. Thank
now.
You.
Bye.
Yeah. Oh, that was really sweet. That was.
Isn't
really
it amazing when you do the work we do, we not only have beautiful on this side, but on the other side also?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we do. And I really feel that the people that you meet doing this work, you know, is also, you know, I like to think of it as kindred spirits, you know, and also, you know, just being able to do the work that we do. I do know that we've got another caller, so I'm just going to try to go right to my next caller. Who's calling in?
Hi, this is Vicki.
Hi, Vicki, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. I was wanting to ask Chuck if he saw a relationship heading my way in the near future, or in the future.
I don't do a lot of relationships, but I will work with you for a moment just to see what I can get.
Okay.
Why don't we talk for a moment? Now, this isn't the Vicki I know, is it?
I don't think so.
Okay, you'd know. I mean, you know, if I've called you and just had, because I couldn't hear your voice. There's a Vicki that I talk to once in a while. I've given a couple of readings to. It was a Vicki that had lost her son.
Yeah. No, I've not had any readings from you.
Okay, good then. I wasn't sure when I heard the, you know, saw the name and then. I wasn't sure if that was you. I'm trying to see if I can pick up anything for you. I do feel that, is there a male in spirit like dad for you or grandfather? But I feel like it would be like a fatherly figure for you.
My dad, he passed away at the beginning of the year, last year.
Yeah, because I feel him more than a female wanting to come in for you.
Okay.
And so I just want to see what he can put with this. And
okay.
I don't know what he's doing, so I'm just kind of stumbling around for just one moment. And what's this something about creative shopping for you or frugal shopping for you? Has something changed with you about the way you shop?
Well, I garden for a living, and I'm down in work, so I'm probably being a little more frugal.
Okay, it might just be the change in it that Dad is noticing. I just want to see. I just have to say these words that he's looking over your shoulder a lot when you're doing gardening and stuff like that. He's around you a lot, and as far as the relationship goes, I this is tough on me because I'm not sure if I want to go with a yes or a no, but I'm feeling a yes. And before Christmas, I'm very comfortable with saying before Christmas. I want to give it like 2 weeks, and a new friendship will develop in 2 weeks.
Is this someone
wow.
that I know or somebody I'll meet?
New. Totally new. Totally new.
Good.
Great.
Wow.
Nice.
I had a while back reconnected with a guy from high school that he lives in New Mexico, but I guess he, at the end of our conversation, found out that his got a son whose mother lives here in Carmel Valley, and he comes here at Christmas time, so I was wondering if we might hook up. I just thought that was pretty ironic. That
okay.
Maybe if you could email me back with it, Vicki, but I'm getting it's not him.
Okay.
And that even though the hopes look good for this, there's someone else getting ready to walk into your life, and I'm giving 2 weeks on it, and I don't usually do that type of reading, but this is coming in from your dad, and I do want to trust what he's doing with it. So
okay, cool.
Okay, Vicki, Looks like
we're getting a little
interesting.
We're getting a little bit of echo here. Vicki, one quick question about your dad.
Mm-hmm.
Why would he be afraid to drive?
He was blind.
Well, that would work. Okay. There we go. Take that. and that was just a validation that I was talking about with Allison earlier, that if I give an opinion on something or like boyfriend coming in or a relationship, I want to back it up with something solid. And what I saw was him closing the front door in the car. He wouldn't get in and drive, but I couldn't tell that he was blind, obviously, by looking at that image. He's here to say hello to you anyway, okay?
That was good.
Okay,
yeah,
like
he died on
too.
His birthday last year, which I also thought was amazing.
Yeah. Okay, Vicki, well, thanks for calling into the show.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Have a great night. Why was he afraid to drive? Because he was blind?
That will work. It's almost like a joke, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, you said that they like to come in with jokes with you.
They do.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, what's kind of amazing about that is understanding your energy from looking at your chart, that you do have that sense of humor and that you do, you know, you like things on the light side. And that's kind of like the way that they're approaching you, with just a little bit of a sarcasm, a little bit of humor, a little bit of making you jump through a few hoops for it, you know? So I think that's kind of interesting. That's funny.
Sometimes I have to give the punchline, and I'm the butt of the joke, and I just have to get used to that. So.
Oh, they're playing with you. That's
interesting. They are, and I like it. They do have a sense of humor over there.
Yeah, well, I always used to say God has to have a sense of humor, otherwise he wouldn't have created me, you know, or all the other jokesters in the world, because, you know, really sometimes I have the IQ of a child, you know, could be very immature and childlike, and then sometimes a brainiac, but, you know, I just, you know, a sense of humor is really a cool thing to come through like that. Have you ever had, you know, personally, I mean, I think the Ray Charles reading had to have been probably one of those notable readings, but to me, it's like being a medium, and you know, even with crime scenes and things like that, you know, when I think about that what you see, you know, sometimes can be disturbing or upsetting, or I would think that's sometimes not always an easy thing to do, and I myself, you know, I cry at, you know, sad. You know, I can't even watch medical shows because it makes me cry. How does that affect you when you receive information especially when they're trying to communicate to you how they died and things like that. I mean, does that affect you? Does that upset you? Do you find that difficult part of what you do?
It's odd. It's a funny feeling of, it's almost like I feel the pain that the parent will feel, and it is painful, and sometimes I do tear up, and I'm not afraid to do that in front of a group, but I kind of feel funny saying this, but one of my duties when I was on the police department for many years was fatal investigator.
Oh, that's true. That's
and
true.
That toughened me up a little, or got
sure.
me kind of ready, and then before that, now I think about it, I was toughened up by being a paramedic.
Oh, okay.
On ambulance. You know, I worked ambulance work. So probably, it was almost like I was being set up for what I'm doing now.
Sure.
But there are times when I'll give a reading, especially when it's children coming through, and I have a 5-year-old son.
Sure.
That I love life itself, but I also love children.
Mm-hmm.
And that's got to be the greatest pain ever for a parent to lose a child. I don't care
sure.
what age.
Sure. And that's probably having a child is part of also helping you to connect to parents that have lost children. So I think it's very commendable work. And I don't want to take up too much time because I know I heard a beep. And I'm going to let you know, Chuck, that we only got 3 minutes left on the show. So we're going to take this caller. Try to do your mojo in a couple of minutes, okay?
Okay.
Who's calling, please?
Hi, Allison. It's Susan Duval. Hi, Chuck.
Susan, did you see the show?
I did not. I'll have to see if I can see it the next time.
All right.
But I'm so excited for you.
Susan, are you going to bring him to Pennsylvania again? Please, please.
Well, I hope so. Whenever you can, Chuck, come on up to Philadelphia.
I'm ready.
All right. I'll call you tomorrow. We'll set a date.
Yeah.
All right. I'd like that.
Wonderful.
Well, I want to follow up like that lady did and see if you see any relationships coming for me. All the girls want to know about relationships.
Hey, I need one for me now. I'm totally single.
So that's maybe why you should come to Philadelphia.
Yeah. I'm single and lonely and all that. So, in fact, women are afraid to come to my house for readings now because I don't let them leave. I keep them for dinner and try to get them to watch TV with me and all that stuff. pretty hectic. Let me see what I can get, Susan. I'm trying to bring in something. I got to tell you, the signal I'm getting for you is you've been a little too uptight lately, and that's being a problem. So you must have
can
a lot of things
again?
Bothering you. Does that make sense to you?
I didn't hear you.
I'm sorry. I'm getting symbols for you that right now your men are resisting you because you're coming off being too uptight lately.
Really?
Does that make sense?
Well, I don't know. I'll have to think about that.
Okay, I'm getting, you know, when a person will interlace your fingers and like you're at a dinner table, say, and I feel like I want you to loosen up a lot. How's that?
Okay.
Try that. But I'm hearing, yes, your smile is bigger than before, so that's telling me you're much happier and things are going good, but you are a little uptight, whether it's financially or business-wise, and I just want you to limber up a lot. They're telling me to tell you to loosen up a little. Go with the flow a little bit more, and don't ask so many questions, okay?
Okay.
Can you do that?
Sure.
All right, but I do...
I'll become a loose woman.
Well, you know what I mean by... maybe you're letting business, or you're letting finances, or something like that. I'm getting a couple of symbols for you that you've been a little uptight lately. I just want you to mellow out with it.
Okay.
And I do see I see a guy with a jawbone that's very pronounced, very good-looking guy coming into your energy.
Ooh.
Really?
Yes, I do.
Mm.
All right.
Well, listen, girl, I hate to cut you off. You know I hate to, but we got to because the show's ending.
I know.
So.
Well, thank you so much. That was awesome.
All right. Thanks,
Take
Susan.
Care.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Chuck, always a pleasure. Always just, you know, a big thrill to talk to you. So excited about the show. And, of course, I just, you know, I could just see nothing but success for you. I just want to remind everybody, visit chuckbergman.com and read the testimonials and all the various different things. And, Chuck, you'll come back and see us again?
I'd love to, Allison.
And what are you doing after the show, Chuck?
Well, let's see. I think I got a one-hour break, and then I'm going to go on the James Vitale Blog Talk radio show. And I don't have the address in front of me, but if they go to my Facebook page, it may be posted on that. For the link, but it's James Vitale on Blog Talk.
Okay, there you go. All right, Chuck, I'll be listening. All right, thanks everybody for listening to the show. Thank you so much, everyone that called in. Chuck, you're coming back, and we'll talk to you all again next week. Have a great evening, everyone. Good night.
Thank you for joining us this evening. For more information, or if you wish to contact Allison for a reading, please visit www.visiblebynumbers.com or email Allison at alynch@ptd.net. Have a wonderful evening and be well.